Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Welcome to the Marriage and More podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
What's up? Welcome to Marriage and More with your hosts,
Sterling
and Soretta Smith, where we talk about love, life, marriage,
and a whole lot more.
Thank you for tuning in to the show today. We know that you have busy schedules. We don't take it lightly that you take time to tune in. You can always listen to the replays of all of our shows at BashaniRadio.com. Better yet, download the Bashani Radio app, or you can check out our show at all places, locations where you can listen to podcasts. So what's going on, Mr. Smith?
Life as usual, living the life, living the dream, and trying to keep it going.
All right. Sounds good to me. Lots been going on since our last show. We currently have the Peach Jam going on. You want to tell the folks what the Peach Jam is?
The Peach Jam is like a big time basketball tournament for high school players.
It's like AU. Is it AU teams?
Basically, it's high school players, AU players, and most of them are usually high school players. And it's like a stepping stone for them towards their career where they're going at afterwards, i.e. to college, or some of them maybe going to the D League or something like
NBA?
That. They can do that now.
Yeah.
They can't go to the NBA.
Okay.
But they can go to the D League or go to some other little professional leagues that prepare them to take that step to the NBA, because the NBA still has that little one and done rule right now. But it's all about the AAU, and this is the high school players, and they have the young ladies also play too. The men, the boys, and the girls, they're there. And I mean, you see some outstanding basketball players come through there.
So it's a really big time thing, and it's hosted here in our neighboring city of North Augusta. And LeBron is here, everybody. He's usually comes. He's been coming for a minute. I think I heard Russell Westbrook. Last year, Carmelo Anthony.
All
the big time players.
All the big time players are there because they all have they sponsor AAU teams.
They sponsor teams, or they have kids. Like Bronny's playing. My neighbor up the street actually works the Peach Jam every year, and I was going to try to get over there this year and just see who I can see. You guys know I'm a big LeBron James fan, so
you will see all kinds of NBA players, because like I say, they all have teams. They all have their own teams, or like, for instance, they wear Nike. Nike will have a team, and so Nike will have a NBA player specific to that team, but now the NBA players got smart. They have their own teams now.
Yeah, so it's something really, really big that happens around here. So hopefully we'll get over there. I think it ends on the 24th. So hopefully we'll get to get over and catch the Peach Jam a day or so.
It's a week.
And
it lasts like a week. It's a week long tournament. It's big time.
And we've got some players here locally that are.
Yes, that are involved.
And are playing as well. So we like to support our homegrown hometown athletes. So, yeah, looking forward to getting over to the Peach Jam.
Last year, as a matter of fact, a local team actually won the championship. It was a local team from right here that won the championship, which
awesome.
Was very, very surprising.
Yeah, my cousin has a team. I need to call him and check him out and see what's going on with his team. He has a team as well. So weather's been dry and hot.
It's raining now.
Well, it's raining now, but we've had, you know, I don't know, across the country and across the country, especially East Coast, it's been really hot, lots of hot temperatures. not a lot of rain, but we've been getting some rain.
It's funny here. We'll go like weeks without rain. But when it starts raining, it rains. Like now for like the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's been rain every day. It's been raining so much that now we have went from a drought to now we keep seeing flash floods coming across the screen because it's been raining so much.
Well, we needed the rain because I know at least here in our city, you know, we were water restriction. They had already started asking citizens not to water the grass, not to wash their cars. So we're thankful for the rain. Well, not much else going on. We have a really good topic today that we're going to be talking about. Still got a little razzle there in my throat from COVID. But we want to always put our disclaimer out that we are not licensed therapists, psychiatrists,
none of that stuff.
Clinicians.
Nope.
But we're just talking about life experiences and just giving people some counsel based on our life experience. The Bible says there is godly counsel in a multitude. And so, you know, it's good to get counsel from people that have experience, people that have walked the hills and the valleys and the highs and the lows and the lulls of a marriage that you may be experiencing. And so that's what we're here to do. And today we're going to be talking about the power of forgiveness, the power of forgiveness as I'm navigating through life on a day-to-day basis, as I'm talking to people. And even some of my experiences, I'm finding that people are struggling with forgiveness. They're struggling with forgiveness.
Yes. Forgiveness is one of those things that like people get stuck in a moment. And if they're stuck at that moment, one of the basic steps to get them past that moment is forgiveness, is to forgive. Forgive that alt that person may have done to you. But that's hard. That's very hard with people.
It's really hard. And so I want to talk about it from a biblical perspective and base because we're Christians and what the Word of God tells us about forgiving. Matthew 6:14, it says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." That's one of the scriptures. Colossians says, "Bear with each other and forgive." Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." And so the power of forgiveness really is not for the other person. The forgiveness is for you. And so oftentimes people walk around and somebody has, and sometimes rightfully so, you were wronged, you know, mm-hmm. Not to discount or to say that what happened to you, you're not justified in your anger. Because the Bible also says, be angry, but just don't sin. So it's not that you're not justified in your anger. But the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And so, in other words, don't hold on to that anger.
Yeah, just be in the moment.
For a long, long, long time, because anger turns into bitterness. Mm-hmm. And when you start looking at bitterness, a lot of health conditions are linked to bitterness. A lot of health conditions are linked to unforgiveness. And so I thought this was something good to talk about, especially in marriage, because in marriage, sometimes we say things and we do things to our spouses that, you know, we may regret later. Sometimes spouses never say they're sorry. And so if your spouse never says they're sorry, you know, should you forgive them? Should you just hold on to that anger? Should you let it turn into bitterness and just set up and just destroy your marriage? And so we're talking about the power of forgiveness. And so practicing forgiveness can have powerful health benefits. You know, there's been studies that have shown that when you forgive, it lowers the levels of depression, anxiety, and hostility. A lot of people fall into unforgiveness and it takes them off into substance abuse, depression, anxiety. And so forgiveness is like a doorway. It opens the door for you to fall into this trap of a downward spiral.
Yes, I think just me personally, I think forgiveness also clears the mind. I mean, like, because you're hit once you're you're holding on to something and it just clouds your whole process, your whole psyche. But once you forgive and you let it go, it's like it opens up a whole new comfort zone for you where your mind can freely take you to the next level.
Yeah, because you can't move forward if you're holding on to something. If you haven't forgiven somebody, you can't move forward. And so that's why, again, the forgiveness is not for the person. It's not that you're letting the person off the hook, but you're freeing yourself.
You're freeing yourself.
Like you said, free your mind, right?
And process.
And have peace.
And have peace.
And move on.
And move on. Move
yeah.
forward.
So forgiveness, you know, is a word that sometimes people both love and hate because we know we need to forgive and we want to forgive.
That's hard.
But sometimes it's hard depending on what the
action was against.
The action was that was against you. And I've had people actually tell me, I can't forgive. I can't. And my response to that is, you can, you just don't want to. And so you have to really dig deep and say, like, why am I holding on to this? Like, and again, I don't know what the action, like Sterling said, the action was that was taken against you. Maybe it was they lied on you. They stole from you. Maybe it was domestic violence, physical abuse, molestation, rape. I mean, it could be a gamut of things, mm-hmm. of actions that were against you that were wrong. Hear what we're saying. Like, they were wrong. The people were wrong for whatever the actions they were that they took against you. But we're talking about finding a way to forgive that person for yourself so that you can move forward. Because again, it's like I said, it's both love and hate. We like to, forgiveness is a love and hate word because sometimes we feel that our unforgiveness is justifiable.
Yeah.
That is, I'm justified in not wanting to forgive this person. Mm-hmm. I'm justified in the way that I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But as a Christian, we're not justified because the Bible tells us that we are to forgive.
And like you said, something key there. You said the way you feel, people getting their feelings.
Right. Yeah.
And if your feelings have been crushed or denied or deceived, people's feelings will take over. That emotional aspect of how you feel about something unforgiving took you to that feeling. What state of mind did it take you to based off your feelings? And once the emotions get involved, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Because the soul is out of control now. Because now the soul is out of control. Now the flesh is in total control. And the flesh starts talking to you. And, you know, the flesh will take you down a road of don't forgive. Mm-hmm. They did you wrong. You right. It's nothing wrong with being mad. It's nothing wrong with not forgiving them. Mm-hmm. And
they caused the problem.
Yeah, yeah. So
they did that to you.
Yeah. And so sometimes I've talked to people, specifically people who have gone through something traumatic where they've had to forgive somebody and it didn't happen overnight. And I'm not necessarily saying, we're not necessarily saying that it's going to happen overnight. And I say this all the time, you know, you're not responsible for the environment that you grew up in, the environment that you were born in, or sometimes you're not even responsible for these actions or these things that were taken against you or done to you. But we are responsible for our healing. And so, you know, we can't do it always by ourselves. Sometimes you have to rely on God to help you past whatever it is that happened, and to help you heal and to be able to forgive and to move forward. But I have talked to and counseled many people who were holding on to unforgiveness, and they had a physical ailment. They were sick in their body. It was stomach problems or headaches or their high blood pressure, just various things. And the root of what they were experiencing was unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I literally remember one young lady, like once she truly forgave and had that breakthrough, all of the stomach, she would go to the doctor and they really couldn't find anything that was wrong. And she began to share some things with me, and I began to understand that it was unforgiveness. And so it's literally like a pain. It was causing a pain in her body. Mm-hmm. And once she truly forgave and like released it and let it go, her stomach problems went away.
Yeah, it's like some people say, it's like a weight that's on you, that's holding you down, that's bearing you down, that's pushing you down. But once you forgive, that weight comes up off of you and you feel a whole lot better. You may feel stronger. You'll just have a different outlook. You'll have a positive outlook on life in general, instead of just being stuck at that unforgiving moment.
Yeah, because forgiveness is important to God. It's important to God because he told us, you know, he said he will forgive us of our sins, and he commands us to forgive one another. And so, you know, it's important. Forgiveness is important to God. And I've been in situations where it's like, you know, I would say, God, why am I always the one who has to forgive? Because sometimes you have to forgive and you're never going to get an apology. The person that wronged you or the person that did you wrong, they may never come to you and actually acknowledge that they did something wrong. And they may never come to you and tell you that they're sorry for what they did to you. So you won't always get an acknowledgement.
Yeah, those are those type of people that operate in that duplicitous nature. They just operate like that.
You may not always get an acknowledgement. And then you may not get an apology. You may never be told that you're sorry. But God understands that, and he understands and knows that how unforgiveness is a trap, how it entraps you, how it ensnares you, how it keeps you from your purpose and your destiny, how it keeps you from his blessings.
Say that again. I like that. Your purpose and your destiny.
Yeah. God understands how unforgiveness is a snare and a trap designed to keep you from your purpose.
There it is.
Designed to keep you from your destiny, designed to keep you from his blessings.
Holding you down.
Because if we won't forgive and we're harboring unforgiveness and bitterness, you know, there's a scripture that talks about bitterness. It talks about bitterness being bound up in the bosom. Bitterness is bound up in the bosom of a fool. I think that's what it says. And so, you know, the bosom is like right there where the heart is, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you hold on to this bitterness, and it just keeps you in bondage. And so harboring bitterness and harboring anger, all of these things, you know, the Bible tells us to put aside. It tells us to put aside all these things, to put these things away, to put them aside, because they're deadly, they're poisonous, and they do nothing but cause damage. And so in marriage, again, I want to go back because we're talking about marriage and forgiveness. And so, you know, sometimes you have to come to the point where it's like, am I going to hold on to this? Am I going to just keep harping on this, or am I going to forgive and let it go and move forward if I never get an apology, if my partner never acknowledges that what they did was wrong? Now, I'm not saying that you give your spouse a pass. because you have to acknowledge, let your spouse know, like, this is what you did. This is how it has affected me, or this is how, you know, it hurt me, or this is how it wronged me, like infidelity. Yeah. I'm not saying that if your spouse cheats on you, that you give them a pass, because the Bible does say that one of the ways that you can divorce is if infidelity takes place. And so, but if you decide that I'm going to forgive and make the marriage work, then you got to truly forgive.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be really hard with infidelity, to forgive. And it's a process. And if there's any couples out there and you're struggling with, you know, there's been an infidelity in the marriage, but you saying, you know what, I want to save my marriage, I want to work on my marriage, then, you know, I strongly suggest counseling. I strongly suggest, you know, seeing a counselor, whether it's your pastor or professional, because you're going to need somebody to help navigate you and walk you through that process. Because, you know, there's been a breakdown of trust,
a major breakdown of trust
amongst other emotions and feelings. Look, God gave us emotions. He gave us feelings. And so, you know, you're going to have somebody to help you walk through that process. If that's what you're going through, I just want to talk about, five steps to forgiveness in marriage. And some of it we've already said, but I want to just put these out here. The first thing is that forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. And I said that earlier, where, yes, I have counseled people and they say, I don't want to, no, I can't forgive. I can't. You don't understand. You don't know what they did to me. I can't forgive. And my response was, you can.
Because you choose not to.
You choose not to. You don't want to. There's something that's comforting.
Is it a position of, like, power?
It may be a position, yeah, of power, that they're like holding something over that person. And sometimes it seems like it's comforting to be in the chaos and the drama and the, you know, the pain. Somehow it's a comfort. It, and though it sounds twisted,
like, it's like holding that dagger, or like,
right. Yeah.
I got you. I got you at this moment, yeah, right here. Yeah.
So, you know, we may not feel like forgiving, and we may want to harbor the anger and hurt and make the person pay,
yeah,
for what they did. That's what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Make the person pay. You know, it's like holding them hostage.
Yes.
But you're not really.
I got
you. Yeah. But you're not really holding the person.
Yourself.
You're holding yourself. Right.
Because you got to keep going back to that moment.
Right.
That person is like, they're done with.
And the energy,
yes,
that you're putting into being angry, holding the person hostage, you know, it's just you're wasting time.
Yes.
Right. But once you decide that you want to grant forgiveness, then you can begin to work through the feelings. And so making the choice to forgive, you know, it frees you and it gives you the opportunity to begin to work through those different feelings. Number two, share your hurt. And I think that's what you were talking about a few minutes ago when you were saying that the person who's actually inflicted the harm, they may not be aware.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at.
And they need to be made aware so that they can ask for forgiveness or apologize, but yes, if they're not aware, then you may be, you know, have unforgiveness for somebody that, for something that they're not even aware.
Yeah, they're totally oblivious to it.
Yeah. So after your husband or your wife has apologized and asked for forgiveness, you need to talk about the matter before you move on, right?
Talk it out.
You gotta talk it out. Yeah, so I forgive. I'm sorry if I said this. I'm sorry that I did this. Okay, I forgive you, but we need to talk about this so that we don't find ourselves back here.
Or it doesn't happen again.
Right.
We start doing a repetitive cycle.
Yeah, and it might be uncomfortable, but you need to share how you feel, which is what you were saying earlier. it's not a time that you point the finger, you know, but you just share how you feel so he'll understand or she'll understand the depth of your hurt, you know. Make sure you feel heard before you move on. All right. Number three, plan for change. Plan for change. We're talking about unforgiveness in marriage and forgiving in marriage. Plan for change. The goal is not to punish, with requirements, right? But to set up guidelines that you both agree on. So it can't be one-sided. Like, well, in order for me to forgive you,
you gotta do this. Yeah.
You know, that's the only way I'm gonna forgive you. You know, it can't be like that. That's manipulation. That's control, which the Bible says is witchcraft. So, you know, there has to be a way that you both agree upon. That way there'll be fewer gray areas that can lead to disappointment.
True.
All right?
Very true.
Number four. Stop the video. You talked about that. Replaying it.
Yes, yes.
Over and over and over.
Keep going back to that moment.
And you know the saying that says, the more I think about it, the madder I get.
Yeah.
Right? That's replaying the video. Mm-hmm. That's playing it over. So you can't replay whatever the infraction was.
I can't believe you did that.
You can't play it over and over in your mind. Because then your mind starts to wonder and you begin to dwell on the incident and the hurt it caused. You have to tell yourself to stop.
Because you say you forgive, but it's still stuck in that,
right.
on that spot on the mind.
That goes right back to you. That goes to the forgive and forget, mm-hmm. right? And it's not, you know, the Bible says that we forget those things that are behind us. We press for the mark of the prize of the high call. So it may not be that you forget, but it's that when you think about it, the trauma, the pain, the hurt
comes right back.
Doesn't come with it. That's the place that you want to be. Is that, mm-hmm. oh, I can remember when this happened, but you don't remember the trauma, the pain, yeah. the disappointment. All of that doesn't come with it. And so it's one thing to need to talk to somebody like your pastor or counselor about your pain so that you can move past it. But it's another thing when you keep inflicting the pain on yourself because you're dwelling on the hurt.
Because you're stuck. You're stuck at that spot.
Right.
You're stuck at that hurt. I can't believe you hurt me like this.
Yeah.
You're stuck there.
So you got to decide to truly forgive your spouse and recommit to the relationship. And you don't want to sabotage that by focusing on the negative. All right. And number five. Give yourself time. And we talked about that when we first started out talking about it, that it's a process.
Yes, it's a process.
And if you're the spouse that has committed the offense or the, you know, you're the one that has committed the infraction, you have to be willing to give your husband or your wife
time.
The time that they need. Like some people was like, well, I said I was sorry and you said you forgive me. So what's the problem? Why can't we just move on? That's wrong. That's not good.
That's pressure.
That's not good.
That's crazy pressure on someone.
Yeah, that's not good because it's just like saying,
that's like,
yeah, I did it.
Yeah, that's like,
I did it.
I'm
okay.
Keep doing bad stuff. You just need to forget.
Yeah, I did it. Get over it.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
This ain't the first time. This ain't gonna be like, the last time. Like,
are you really sorry for what?
Yeah.
You know, are you really genuine in your saying you're sorry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so just deciding to forgive it's not going to strip away all the pain. So you have to understand that if you're the spouse that has committed the infraction, you know, just because you say you're sorry and just because your spouse says, I forgive you, that doesn't strip away all the pain, right?
Give them their space.
Give them their space and understand that they need time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's because it's natural to feel, you know, disappointed. It's natural for the feelings to be raw. And so you have to go back to step four, you know, when you need to and keep choosing to forgive. And step four was stop the video. Don't keep replaying it over and over and over in in your mind.
Yeah, because you're going to get madder and madder and madder.
Yeah.
And it's going to start affecting you, your health, your mental psyche more and more and more as you keep replaying the video.
So those are just 5 steps to forgiveness in marriage that you can apply. And we started the show out talking about, like, what's the purpose of forgiveness? And just remember that when you don't forgive, you may feel like, you know, you're the one that has the advantage because you haven't forgiven this person. And so the person is being held hostage because they're waiting for your forgiveness. But really,
it's a burden on you.
You're not the one. They're not being held hostage.
No, it's a burden on
you. You're the one being held hostage. Right. Mm-hmm. So we hope those 5 tips will help you navigate through forgiveness in marriage. Remember, the forgiveness is for you. God forgave us, and he wants us as believers to forgive other people.
He forgives us all the time.
And it's not always easy. Sometimes it's a process, but don't stay stuck there. Don't spend years and years of your life.
As we say, dwell on the moment.
Right. Don't spend years and years of your life not forgiving somebody. You know, a lot of times I hear people talk about someone and then I'll say, well, you know, what have you tried to call the person or have you talked to the person? Sometimes the person's dead and gone, you know, and people deal with trauma where they weren't able to confront their accuser. They weren't able to confront. And one of the things that we I like to do is to have them sometimes write a letter to the person, like expressing how they hurt them, you know, what they put them through, or sitting a chair, an empty chair in front of them and pretending like the person's there in that chair and just releasing it and letting it go. And that begins the healing process and allowing them to start working through those feelings so that they can get to that place of forgiveness. All right. Well, listen, thanks for tuning in to the show. Stay tuned after the show to listen to some information on how you can follow us on social media. We always welcome your comments, your input. Again, you know, we don't know it all. We don't have all the answers, but we're just sharing.
But we know some stuff.
We know some stuff, yeah. And we know that, you know, you have to learn how to forgive. In 28 years of marriage, nobody's perfect. Somebody's going to say something or do something, and you have to learn how to forgive. And then you have to learn how to take ownership and acknowledge when you've messed up as well, and learn how to apologize and learn how to walk through and navigate those emotions. And so, listen, we're going to end with our marriage mantra, which goes a little something like this. The more you put in your marriage,
the more you'll get out of your marriage.
Until next time, you guys take care.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.